Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You're listening to the All Things Right and Musical Christmas Special. I'm David. I'm an organist.
I'm Ian. I'm a priest.
And Ian, I have to say, I really like your Christmas sweater that you wore for our Christmas special.
Likewise.
Thanks. I'm impressed that, I mean, I can't read every word because the knitting isn't high enough resolution, but I see it's the whole...
Well, it's 8-bit.
Yeah. But I can make out it is the prologue hymn to the Gospel of John.
Right.
It's black and white, which a lot of people would not associate with Christmas, but I get the message.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that yours has a Zimbelstern on it.
Well, thanks. I thought you would. It actually works too. I can fire it up at any time.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Well, we're here by the fire, and we've got our wassail, our cups of steaming hot festive beverage. We hope that our listeners out in podcast land are having a wonderful Christmas, and we're here to help you celebrate the 12 days. So, you know, divvy this up any way you want, but we invite you to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas with us.
Celebrate the 12 days by listening to 1 hour of this podcast for each of the 12 days. So this is the 12-hour Christmas special.
That's right. So please don't try to download anything else to your phone during this period. Because it simply will not fit.
Or maybe ever again.
It is full for all time. This is Christmas Eve by Christina Rossetti. Christmas hath a darkness brighter than the blazing noon. Christmas hath a chillness warmer than the heat of June. Christmas hath a beauty lovelier than the world can show. For Christmas bringeth Jesus, brought for us so low. Earth, strike up your music, birds that sing and bells that ring. Heaven hath answering music for all angels soon to sing. Earth, put on your whitest bridal robe of spotless snow, for Christmas bringeth Jesus, brought for us so low.
So this is Christmas, Roman numeral 2, by George Herbert.
How many Christmases does Herbert have?
Two that I'm aware of.
Okay.
A lot of people seem to like one better, but to me, I think two is better.
Maybe we'll save that for another Christmas special.
Maybe. The shepherds sing, and shall I silent be? My God, no hymn for thee. My soul's a shepherd too. A flock it feeds of thoughts and words and deeds. The pasture is thy word, the streams thy grace, enriching all the place. Shepherd and flock shall sing, and all my powers outsing the daylight hours. Then we will chide the sun for letting night take up his place and right. We sing one common Lord, wherefore he should himself the candle hold. I will go searching till I find a sun, shall stay till we have done. A willing shiner that shall shine as gladly as frost-nipped suns look sadly. Then we will sing and shine all our own day, and one another pay. His beams shall cheer my breast, and both so twine, till even his beams sing and my music shine.
It's a lovely poem.
Isn't it? Yeah. I love the... I thought you would like that particularly because of the musical imagery.
Yeah, read those musical lines again.
So the music's throughout, but... Then we will sing and shine all our own day and one another pay. His beams shall cheer my breast and both so twine till even his beams sing and my music shine.
Mm, that is really nice. And in a lot of these Christmas poems, the music is so, or the sound, sound is such a key part of it. Much like, you know, the liturgy this time of year, the music is sort of inseparable.
Yeah.
You wouldn't dream of, well, I wouldn't dream of going to a Christmas service without any music. I mean, it's part and parcel of what we're about at this time of year.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is sound and light, which are, you know, that's the other Christmas theme, especially with John's prologue, if you read that.
That's right.
But it's ironic.
I can read it right off your sweater. So we have now a longer poem, which we'll read together. This is Ode on the Morning of Christ's Nativity. We'll be reading an excerpt from this poem, very thoughtfully chosen excerpt by the poet Malcolm Guite. And we really should credit him with providing a lot of these poems and inspiring the form that this Christmas special would take. And we'll link to all of them on his website in the show notes. So, Ode on the Morning of Christ's Nativity by John Milton.
This is the month, and this the happy morn, wherein the Son of Heaven's eternal King, of wedded maid and virgin mother born, our great redemption from above did bring. For so the holy sages once did sing, that he our deadly forfeit should release, and with his Father work us a perpetual peace. That glorious form, that light unsufferable, and that far-beaming blaze of majesty, wherewith he wont at heaven's high council table to sit the midst of trinal unity. He laid aside, and here with us to be, forsook the courts of everlasting day, and chose with us a darksome house of mortal clay. Say, heavenly muse, shall not thy sacred vein afford a present to the infant God? Hast thou no verse, no hymn or solemn strain to welcome him to this his new abode? Now, while the heaven, by the sun's team untrod, hath took no print of the approaching light, and all the spangled host keep watch in squadrons bright. See how from far upon the eastern road the star-led wizards haste with odors sweet. O run, prevent them with thy humble ode, and lay it lowly at his blessed feet. Have thou the honor first thy Lord to greet, and join thy voice unto the angel choir, from out his secret altar touched with hallowed fire.
It was the winter wild, while the heaven-born child all meanly wrapped in the rude manger lies. Nature, in awe to him, had doffed her gaudy trim, with her great master so to sympathize. It was no season then for her to wanton with the sun, her lusty paramour. Only with speeches fair she woos the gentle air, to hide her guilty front with innocent snow, and on her naked shame pollute with sinful blame the saintly veil of maiden white to throw. Confounded that her Maker's eyes should look so near upon her foul deformities. But he, her fears to cease, sent down the meek-eyed peace. She, crowned with olives green, came softly sliding down through the turning sphere, his ready harbinger. With turtle wing the amorous clouds dividing, and, waving wide her myrtle wand, she strikes an universal peace through sea and land.
Nor war or battle's sound was heard the world around. The idle spear and shield were high up hung. The hooked chariot stood unstained with hostile blood. The trumpet spake not to the armed throng, and kings sat still with awful eye, as if they surely knew their sovereign lord was by. But peaceful was the night, wherein the Prince of Light his reign of peace upon the earth began. The winds with wonder whist, smoothly the waters kiss, whispering new joys to the mild ocean, who now hath quite forgot to rave, while birds of calm sit brooding on the charmed wave. The stars with deep amaze stand fixed in steadfast gaze, bending one way their precious influence, and will not take their flight for all the morning light, or Lucifer, that often warned them thence, but in their glimmering orbs did glow, until their Lord himself bespake and bid them go.
And though the shady gloom had given day her room, the sun himself withheld his wonted speed, and hid his head for shame, as his inferior flame the new enlightened world no more should need. He saw a greater sun appear than his bright throne or burning axletree could bear. The shepherds on the lawn, or ere the point of dawn, sat simply chatting in a rustic row. Full little thought they then that the mighty Pan was kindly come to live with them below. Perhaps their loves, or else their sheep, was all that did their silly thoughts so busy keep. When such music sweet their hearts and ears did greet, as never was by mortal fingers struck, divinely warbled voice answering the stringed noise, as all their souls in blissful rapture took. The air, such pleasure loath to lose, with thousand echoes still prolongs each heavenly close.
Nature that heard such sound, beneath the hollow round of Cynthia's seat, the airy region thrilling, now was almost won to think her part was done, and that her reign had here its last fulfilling. She knew such harmony alone could hold all heaven and earth in happier union. At last surrounds their sight a globe of circular light, that with long beams the shamefaced night arrayed. The helmed cherubim and sworded seraphim are seen in glittering ranks with wings displayed, harping in loud and solemn choir with unexpressive notes to heaven's newborn air. Such music, as 'tis said, before was never made, but when of old the sons of morning sung, while the Creator great his constellations set, and the well-balanced world on hinges hung, and cast the dark foundations deep, and bid the weltering waves their oozy channel keep.
Ring out, ye crystal spheres, once bless our human ears, if ye have power to touch our senses so, and let your silver chime move in melodious time, and let the bass of heaven's deep organ blow, and, with your ninefold harmony, make up full consort to the angelic symphony. For if such holy song enwrap our fancy long, time will run back and fetch the age of gold, and speckled vanity will sicken soon and die, and leprous sin will melt from earthly mold, and hell itself will pass away, and leave her dolorous mansions to the peering day. Yea, truth and justice then will down return to men, orbed in a rainbow, and like glory's wearing, mercy will sit between, throned in celestial sheen. With radiant feet, the tissued clouds down steering, and heaven, as at some festival, will open wide the gates of her high palace hall.
I have to say, I think I actually like Geit's edit better than the original.
We're reading just the right part today.
Yeah. I mean, Milton's original gets a little lengthy, and there's a long, drawn-out section about all of the pagan gods
right.
bowing down to Christ.
And who do we get in there? We got Pan, and we got and we got Cynthia,
right? And maybe a few others.
But man, I love where we left off. I got to read. I think I got to read all the good stuff, at least for me. The bass of heaven's deep organ blow,
mm-hmm.
ninefold harmony. I love that stanza. This is a poet that I'm really taken with, and we're recording this in St. Louis, Missouri, and Scott Cairns is actually a professor at the University of Missouri, so that's a little bit of local interest for us, but no matter where he's writing from, I think he's a fabulous poet and a really, really compelling speaker on issues of poetry and faith. Scott has a... I think he is an Orthodox Christian, and... really approaches his subject with a very orthodox bent, so you'll hear mentions of icons in this poem. Nativity by Scott Cairns. As you lean in, you'll surely apprehend the tiny God is wrapped in something more than a swaddle. The God is tightly bound within his blessed mother's gaze. Her face declares that she is wrapped by what she holds, beholds, reclines beholden to. She cups his perfect head and kisses him, that even here the radiant compass of affection is announced, that even here our several histories converge and slip, just briefly, out of time, which is much of what an icon works as well, and this one offers up a broad array of separate narratives, whose temporal relations quite miss the point, or meet there. Regardless, one blithe shepherd offers music to the flock, and, just behind him, there he is again, and sore afraid, attended by a trembling companion, and addressed by Gabriel. Across the ridge three wise men spur three horses towards a star, and bowing at the icon's nearest edge, these same three yet adore the seated one, whose mother serves as throne. Meantime, stumped, the kindly Abba Joseph ruminates, receiving consolation from an attentive dog, whose master may yet prove to be a holy messenger disguised as fool. Overhead, the famous star is all but out of sight by now. Yet, even so, it aims a single ray directing our slow pilgrims to the core where all the journeys meet, appalling crux and hallowed cave and womb, where, crouched among these other lowing cattle at their trough, our travelers receive that creatured air and pray.
This last one is Alfred Lord Tennyson. It's from a longer poem called In Memoriam, written on the occasion of the death of a close friend of his. It's a small section of the larger poem, and it's about hearing the bells on Christmas Day and sort of reconciling the joy that they represent with the death of his friend. You will sometimes see this poem referred to as Ring Out Wild Bells. You'll see why in just a moment. Ring out wild bells to the wild sky, the flying cloud, the frosty light. The year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells, and let him die. Ring out the old, ring in the new. Ring, happy bells, across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. Ring out the grief that saps the mind, for those that here we see no more. Ring out the feud of rich and poor, ring in redress to all mankind. Ring out a slowly dying cause, and ancient forms of party strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life, with sweeter manners, purer laws. Ring out the want, the care, the sin, the faithless coldness of the times. Ring out my mournful rhymes, but ring the fuller minstrel in. Ring out false pride in place and blood, the civic slander and the spite. Ring in the love of truth and right. Ring in the common love of good. Ring out old shapes of foul disease. Ring out the narrowing lust of gold. Ring out the thousand wars of old. Ring in the thousand years of peace. Ring in the valiant man and free, the larger heart, the kindlier hand. Ring out the darkness of the land. Ring in the Christ that is to be.
Hello, I'm David Sinden, and I'm coming to you with a special message about Lent. The reason I'm thinking about Lent now is because this is an invitation to take part in a collaborative audio Lenten devotional on hymns that I'm calling Songs in the Desert. A few days before Ash Wednesday, 2017, I became inspired to host a collaborative conversation on hymns. Which hymns speak to us, and why? One of the ways I thought we could respond to the Church's invitation to a Holy Lent would be to dive a bit deeper into the hymns of our faith. So right now, I'm inviting you, as a listener to all things right and musical, to sign up to take part in this project. This project is open to everyone, and you don't need any fancy equipment to record. The microphone in your smartphone and your voice memo app will do just fine. You can read all about the project, including the link to sign up, at sinden.org/hymns. That's my last name, sinden.org/hymns. Lent is just around the corner, so sign up today.